Welcome to From the Terraces Extra, another instalment of your weekly football fix. Let's go for the headlines straight away then. And Cambridge United lost for the second time in the league this season to Exeter last night 2-0. We'll be chatting to From the Terraces Sunday show host Tim Armitage all about it. We'll also be joined by Cambridge United Women's Vicky Neal and Liz Pamplin, who'll be discussing their first result of the season last weekend away to AFC Wimbledon and their main aims for this new campaign. And finally, the Cambridgeshire County Leagues have started this week. Squeeze Football will be providing you with the weekly update, and I'll be running through tonight's fixtures as well. So welcome to From the Terraces Extra. We'll go straight to the phone now and speak to Tim Armitage, who uses the From the Terraces Sunday show. So thanks for joining us, Tim.
Hey, Ollie.
Great to have you on. We'll just talk about, we're talking about Cambridge United, obviously, because their result last night is their second loss of the league season. I'll just run through the match for those who weren't aware. Cambridge took on joint top of the league Exeter. Jonathan Fort opened the scoring in the 8th minute for Exeter. Former U, Jaden Stockley, made it 2-6 minutes later. The U's applied a bit more pressure in the second half, but rarely tested Christy Pym in the Exeter net. So I say, Tim, that Exeter opened the scoring, but they were really gifted the first two goals. George Taff possibly firstly, Lewis Rod a bit of a mix up there, and then Dimi Mitov, that was quite clearly his fault, but once again individual errors have cost Cambridge.
Yeah, and if you look at the number of goals that we've conceded, we counted up last night, I think 8 of the 12 or 8 of the 13 have been directly attributable to defensive errors, and fairly poor ones at that. And it kind of doesn't matter how well you play. If you give away goals like that, you're going to lose more games than you win. So that's something we've desperately got to sort out.
That's exactly right. Not a lot Duncan do, really. He sets his team up to play in a certain way, and that plan and that system goes completely out the window in the first 15 minutes when you give away two sloppy goals and you're 2-0 down.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, early in the season, the last thing you want to be doing against a side like Exeter, who, you know, they're top of the league, you give two goals away and you're chasing the game. Once you start chasing the game, you know, it gets difficult, and we saw that at the end. I mean, it wasn't a bad game if you take those two mistakes out, and I kind of sympathise with what Joe was saying after the game about more of the same on Saturday, and you kind of think, well, yeah, okay, nearly more of the same. Let's try and avoid the defensive errors and then have the same game after that, because we had a number of chances. Aziz looked very good at times and was unfortunate not to score. And elsewhere, Carroll, I think, had a good game. Great to see Giovanni Brown back, getting more game time under his belt. And then Louis John, I think, played a very creditable performance at the back as well. So there are some positives from it, but we just cannot afford to give goals away in that way.
And Dunn had a chance to change the match at half-time. I mean, bearing in mind, United looked pretty nice and pretty up until the final third in that first half, never really threatened the extra goal. But Dunn didn't change it. We've seen this quite a lot, especially in his reign last season as well. He hasn't really changed it until the 60th, 70 minutes. And then we've been left with our effectively strongest 11 on the pitch for just 20 minutes of the match. So why do you think Dunn didn't change it at half-time? And how long possibly before we see the likes of Amu playing from the start?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, we had a long chat with Joe Don last season about the pot substitution policy, and it's kind of all planned up front, so it's not necessarily an immediate reaction to the game, and he wants to see how the game unfolds. So it's kind of difficult. It's not an uncommon tactic. I actually expected him to substitute at half time, to be honest, because we just weren't having the best of it, and I think a move coming on earlier would have been a good move. But that's what he does, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's difficult to know what to do with Amu, because he comes on and he's a great impact sub. I think we've figured out that he's probably not going to play 90 minutes. So it's a question of whether you have him on up front, perhaps providing something there at the start of the game, or, you know, do you keep on bringing him on? I'd like to see him getting a bit more game time, though, because it doesn't give him a lot of time to affect the game. I'm sure he can stand the 45 minutes at least.
And do you think Dunn has his best 11 then? When you speak about the substitution policy and Reggie Lambs have come in the side and he's now gone out the side again. Giovanni Brown's come back in. I guess that was always going to happen when he returned from his illness, but O'Neill's been in, Adi Aziz's been in, Jabi Abiri's been in and out. Do you think he knows his best 11?
I think he knows his best 11. I think he's just unlucky in that there are injuries, and this has always been the big problem that we were going to face this season, is that the squad doesn't have the strength in depth that it needs for a League Two campaign. and it only takes an injury. And I think, you know, Greg Taylor at the back has been a classic example of what happens. You know, we've really, really missed Greg and what he brings to the back four. So I think he's not had his best side out there necessarily, but I don't think there's a lot he can do about it.
And going into that game on the weekend then, looking forward against Cheltenham again at the Abbey Stadium, looking at the positives, like you said, Louis John was had a very good assuring performance last night. Giovanni Brown back in a United shirt at the Abbey was great to see. So despite the whole debate about system and what players and what 11 he's going for, the promising thing is that we have got people like Giovanni Brown coming back into the side.
Yeah, it is, and especially when you look at Aziz as well, given the change that's come over him since last season. I mean, he, as I say, even last night, you know, when we weren't really looking threatening until the second half, he had his moments in the first, and I think, you know, if he can make those count, we'll score goals. It's just a question of not giving them away, and I think it's bad news. Unfortunately, we thought Taylor was starting to train again with the group, but unfortunately, has aggravated the injury, and therefore won't be available next week on Saturday. So we'll see. I think Ford is waiting for. He's been on the concussion protocol, so because he's just got to wait for FA clearance before that can. That can be reversed.
Exactly. You speak about Taylor, Ford, and that begs the question, will Cambridge dip into the loan market? That market is open until August 31st. Do you think there'll be some players? I mean, obviously, the budget and what we've heard about the finances is possibly going to be an issue, but with the loan market, there is a potential that the parent club will pay the wages and the fee for the player.
Yeah, the difficulty is, can we afford not to? If we don't take someone on loan to strengthen the squad, then we leave ourselves open to massive criticism and also an early loss of lots of points. So I think if we can find the right person who will fit in, then I think it would make sense.
And then just finally, Tim, predictions for Saturday against Cheltenham. We've just sat their manager. They've been on a pretty poor run, as well as losing the last four of last season. They lost their first three and then managed to get their first point last night. But Gary Johnson, former Cambridge United manager, actually has been sacked by Cheltenham. Unfortunately for United, that probably means they've got the curse of a new manager. Yeah, exactly. But how do you think they'll go on Saturday?
I think as long as we can avoid giving away silly goals, then I think we should win. I think it should be probably 2-0, 2-1.
Yeah, well, exactly, and I hope that will be the case. And in terms of how they'll set up then against Cheltenham, will Dunn keep persisting with the diamond that has caused so much debate across the whole fan base, or will we potentially come? I mean, last season we did see a bit of width with Amu and Dunk playing, and how do you think they'll shape up though?
I don't know. I'd like to. I'm not a massive fan of the diamond. I think he closes us down too much, and we've got players who can play wide, and I'd like to see them used more. I guess it's going to depend on who's fit and who's playing, but I would prefer to see a wider setup.
Well, I personally hope that is the case, and I'm sure many, many fans do, but that'll be a big talking point come Saturday, I'm sure, on the Terrace Show on Sunday as well. But thanks for joining us, Tim.
Yep.
And we'll see you soon.
Cheers, Ollie.
That was Tim Armitage there, the host from the Terraces on Sunday. Obviously, the regular show, that is, from 6 till 7. But coming up after the travel, we'll be speaking to Vicky Neal and Liz Pamplin of Cambridge United Women, and we'll be talking about their season and their aims for the season ahead. So back with the travel with Dom. Welcome back to From the Terraces Extra, where we've just been speaking to Tim Armitage about Cambridge United. And now, moving on to Cambridge United Women, we're joined by Vicky Neal and Liz Pamplin in the studio. So thanks for joining us, ladies.
No problem.
The new season is finally here. How excited were you to get back on the grass last Sunday for the first time?
Yeah, really excited. We've had a really good pre-season, quite a long pre-season. Got quite a few friendlies in, so to play on Sunday in the league was really exciting.
Yeah, and that, go back to that match at FC Wimbledon on last Sunday. They finished second last season in the league, so surely a positive, really, considering you got a point first match on the road and coming back to Cambridge, like I say, with a point. Considering the calibre of the opposition, you must be pretty happy.
Yeah, I think you're always hoping to start the season with a win, but coming back afterwards and thinking about the game, actually, it was a really decent point for us, and not many teams will take points off them there this season.
Yeah, exactly, and Kevin spoke to me last week on the show, and he was quite sure when he spoke to us that he felt the team underperformed last season, finishing eighth, and he was quite then sure that this season the target is promotion. Is that the same? Is that the case for you guys? And you're talking amongst the players that you feel you really could push for promotion?
That's definitely from the players' perspective as well. So this is my first season back. I've kind of been around, been to university, been to Watford Ladies. But I really, my passion is with Cambridge United. That's where I kind of did my younger days. So I want to come back and I want to help them sort of get promoted out of the league they've been stuck in for quite a few years now. And I think Liz agrees that we've got the players now, the professionalism, the coaching staff all in place now to push on and really challenge, if not win the league this year. So that's definitely the players' view.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here, this is my start of my 18th season, and I don't think I've ever been quite as excited about a season as I am about this one, so I think we've, over the pre-season, we've really, really moved on and really looking forward to it.
I'll come to the morale of the team and the mood in the camp in just a bit, but that result then against Wimbledon, therefore, if you are going for promotion, there's more on the bus going to the game, there's more emphasis on winning these games and actually getting points from these games than perhaps there was last year.
Yeah, there's definitely, we're going to go out and try and win every single game, whoever it is, whether they finish second, whether they finish bottom, we have to win every single game. Although we were happy with a point, we want to win again this weekend, get as many points as we can to see where we are at Christmas and push on again from there. So definitely motivated.
Yeah, and Kevin also spoke, when he spoke to me last week, about pre-season. And it's not just using pre-season to get fitness into your legs as more the traditional route, but also having a look at some of the different systems you could play and formation you could play. Is that something that you guys are keen on doing as well, in terms of when you go to different teams, not just having a set way of playing, in terms of adapting to a team that might sort of play a different way and adapting your style of play to them?
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those where you want to play the system that you've set out, mm-hmm. because you don't want to be dictated to by other sides.
Yeah.
But also just to know how to adapt to change different situations when you're on the pitch, to know what to do if things start to go wrong, and to put those things right without having to turn around and look to the management. Be able to solve that as players yourselves, mm-hmm. Really moves you on as a club, I think.
We've got a lot of talent in the team this year. We've recruited really well. Got a lot of strikers that score goals. So I think that's why we're having a look at maybe three up front, having a look at playing out wide, having a look at how we can best score goals and try and win games. So it's really exciting, the players we've got in.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the debates in world football at the minute, in terms of whether managers should stick to their guns and play with their own system no matter what, or actually whether they should adapt and come up when they come up against different sides. But how do you feel as a player? Would you feel more confident going into a game having the system you play and not changing that whatsoever? Or do you think, like you said, in terms of there'll be different stages in managing the game where you have to adapt?
Yeah, I think I watched the debate on Monday Night Football as well, where they're having this argument. But I think it's nice to know the system that you play, to be totally confident in the system that you play. But yeah, being able to adapt on the pitch as players, when things go wrong, when things go right, that is massively important. And you have to be intelligent enough, not just as management, but as players as well, to be able to do that. And we've brought in younger players who are learning the game, who can pick up those skills from the excellent coaching that we have.
And Liz, you are one of the longest serving players at the club. So did you notice anything different, like you just said, in pre-season this year? You said it was a much more exciting camp. Did you notice anything different in terms of in training or in the pre-season friendlies that made you think this year you really could push for promotion?
Yeah, we've really lifted the professionalism this year, and it's obvious to see. We've got players turning up to training, really looking to the coaches and knowing that actually we've developed systems that we perhaps didn't have before, patterns of play and philosophies of play that perhaps we didn't do before. We've started using the facilities at Clare College, Cambridge United, to do gym work and video analysis work, which is really exciting. We've never really done that before, and it really teaches the players something different.
And Vicky, I guess quite intrigued, Liz. I mean, you have said you were at the club before, but you come back, so this is your first season back at the club. So when you return from Watford, who play in a league above, did you notice anything different? Obviously, was there a drop off in massive quality in terms of the leagues, or how did you reflect on coming back into the camp yourself?
I was just talking to Liz about this just next door, actually. And actually, when you're at training, the level of effort and commitment and the quality is actually still there. It's just making sure that players are getting themselves to training and just lifting those standards, like Liz is saying. Guys, get there 10 minutes early. Get your foam rolling done. We're going to start so we can make the most of the 2 hours. It's kind of just getting the players into that kind of mindset, as it all matters. Every single session matters, and that's going to show on the pitch on a Sunday. So we've got the quality there from last season, but just their mindset to... All week we're building up to that Sunday.
Yeah, and you both would have seen the growth of the club, I imagine, over the last few years. Obviously, when you've been at the club at different times, but obviously the dream for any football club is get to the top. So how much therefore do you think I imagine your ambition yourself will be to get to the Championship and then the Super League eventually, but how much is that a realistic ambition at the moment? Do you ever talk about that, or is that not something that comes in your mind? Is it the old cliche, take each game as it comes? Or is obviously it's a long way to go, but surely as players you dream of getting to that level?
It would be a dream, really. It's one of those things where I read a player who just got a contract with a Super League club saying that actually she never dreamt of playing at that level because it was never a reality. Mm. But for girls now, this is a reality. You can play at that level. So not only us trying to get to that level, well, it's difficult because it doesn't only require your ability on the pitch, but at the moment it requires resources outside of that as well. So it would take things like that. But also, you've got to really want that, and we'd like our players to be able to do that at a higher level, even if it's not with us. Mm. So we want to be better and better to be playing at football as high a level as we can.
Yeah. Do you think the club are better suited now than perhaps they were maybe three or four years ago, if they ever were to go on an amazing run and reach Super League? Do you think they're better suited now better equipped now than they were a couple of years ago?
Definitely over the last few years we've been linking up more with the men's side. We've actually got a game at the Abbey, one of our league games on the 12th of September against Stevenage, so we're making good links with the men, and that's going to help us performing well this season. Again, if we have a good cup run and we start playing against those teams that are in those leagues, that sets us in good stead as well, just getting the name recognised. Mm. And doing our best this year and making a stand will then set us in good stead, hopefully, but it's a long way to go.
Back to the present, yeah. and back to this weekend. You travel towards the capital again, face Leighton Orient.
Yep.
In fact, it was this weekend last year you played them as well, drew 0-0, but also then in March beat them 1-1 as well. So you took 4 points off them last season. Again, is this the sort of fixture that now, you with your ambition to get promoted, that you have to go and get a result?
I think definitely. Last year they were a newly promoted side. We weren't sure what to make of them. They had a decent season. But we have to go to these games now believing that we will win them.
Hmm.
And we have to go aiming for 3 points this Sunday.
Hmm. And then equally, then looking at the bigger picture, if you come away from this weekend with 3 points, you'd have been delighted. You know, first two trips away from Cambridge, and you've got 4 points on the board already.
Yeah, that's two tough games that we've done, away games that we've done. So, yeah, it'd be really good to get the ball rolling. And then we're at home, I believe, at Mildenhall, which we're used to. So hopefully a really good kick start to the season.
Mm. And just finally then, you touched on playing at the Abbey just a minute ago. But how much of an occasion is it then from going from Mildenhall to the Abbey? Obviously, it's the Abbey Stadium. It's 9,000-10,000, but it must be an incredible experience playing at such a it doesn't sound patronising, but a proper venue, you know, proper goals, that sort of thing that I guess goes unnoticed on a usual match day.
I stand on the NRE each week, and just to kind of play at the ground itself, the pitch is just like a carpet, and the facilities, you look and you go, we don't play here every week. Mm. It is a real occasion. We enjoy being there, but then so do the opposition, so we have to make sure that we step up to that occasion. Mm. And we're not overawed by the place, and we play as well as we can because we don't want to lose our proper home ground.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's brilliant, and thank you very much for coming in, and all the best for Sunday, and of course I'm sure we'll get you on again, but all the best for this season as well. So thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers, Ollie.
No problem.
Thank you.
So we're just moving to just some sides from our other local sides that haven't actually been mentioned. Cambridge City will travel to Barton Rovers tonight in their first away game of the season after drawing against Corby in their opening game. Histon were victorious again last night, maintaining their 100% start to the season with a 4-0 victory. Max York with two goals, Ed Rolfe and Dan Brown with the others. And now let's bring up with very, very local football. Bring up to the speed with the latest from the Cambridgeshire County Leagues. First, here's Squeeze Football with his roundup of the action over the past week.
Match day 2. In the Kershaw Premier, saw just as many thrills and spills as we had in match day 1. The big game, of course, was West Ratton against Great Shelford, last season's top two, going head to head, with both teams looking to get off the mark for the season. As it happened, Great Shelford won it 2-1, with 3 points going back to Baggers Men. West Ratton still trying to get off the mark for the season, losing a lot of key men over the summer, and they'll be keen to get rid of the hangover that seems to have struck them down. Bar Hill, newly promoted of course from Senior A, continued their good form, winning 3-1 over widely tipped CUP, who've been fancied as dark horses. So that's a good win for the Paul Prime's newcomers. Thorburn and Comerton shared a 0-0. Thorburn unable to build on that victory last season, but they'll take a point. A historic Comerton team drew 0, getting a point at Thorburn. Ainsbury Rovers reserves last week were on the wrong end of a 6-1 defeat. This week they were on the right end of a 6-1 scoreline, beating Cherry Hinton 6-1. Cherry Hinton, who have also been widely tipped, made some good signings, won 3-0 last week, struggled in the game last night and lost Ryan Trainier to an injury, which is sad, and we wish him all the best. Foxton, now they have flown off the mark. Unbelievable. 5-1 victory at West Ratton last week. Last night they went head-to-head with an Eton Soken side who, of course, upset Great Shelford last week. Foxton, last night, it's like watching Swan Lake at the Bolshoi. They won 6-1. That's 11 goals in two games. It's like Rod Gaffer has just got them playing like Barcelona. Absolutely unbelievable stuff there. They beat Eton Soken 6-1. Fellow newcomers to the division, St Neots Town Reserves, got their first point as they drew with Brampton. So that's them off the mark. Brampton, of course, were beaten last week in a controversial game. Later claimed the game shit. He had been playing a lot of their first team, of course, which is disappointing for Brampton. But they're off the mark with a point last night, and we're sure that will lead to better things. Tonight's game between Linton Granter and Cambridge City Development has unfortunately been called off. That is because, again, something to do with controversy surrounding Cambridge City Development. They look like the team that's going to upset everybody this season. But good luck to them. We like a bit of needle. Sad news from Senior A. Three teams have folded. We knew about Falmouth already. Hometown Rangers Reserves have been in the pipeline. Talking to them last night, they just couldn't get anybody to take over. And as of this week, Haverhill Borough Reserves have also folded. So that's Senior A, which was hoped to be a 16-team division, has now gone down to 13 teams.
Thank you very much, Squeeze Football, for that. He'll be providing us with weekly updates, and if you follow him on Twitter as well, at Squeeze Football, for all the local Cambridgeshire County League action. Just to quickly round up for you then, Kurt, in the Cush Premier, Ely City Reserves and Hereford United will both be aiming to recover from their losing starts, but only one of them can win. In Senior A, 200% records will go tonight. Fulbourne Institute take on Milton, and both sides won on match day one, and one of Oversports and Girton United will open their account for the season. Both sides lost their opening games, and they won't both lose tonight. So that's all we've got time for on From the Terraces Extra tonight. Make sure you tune in on Sunday for From the Terraces with Tim and the gang.
Thanks very much, Ollie. Rob Chipfield will be in the driving seat tomorrow. From me, Dom Smith, goodbye.
Online, on digital and on FM.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.